I don't care who's missing. We have a quorum.
Okay. Chuck Anderson.
Here.
Antrim was excused from the LSB meeting. Rodrigo Argueta.
Present.
Douglas Barnett.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Lydia Brisson.
Here.
Steve Brooks. Chris Condon. John Crumshaw.
Present.
Luis Garcia E. Ivins. Ariana Gladney.
Here.
Tej Graywall.
Present.
Kim Kaufman. Fred Klunder.
He's here.
I'm here. Doug says so.
Fred's here.
I got it for you. Definitely.
Looks like Fred. Must be
Fred. Jim Lafferty.
Here.
Chapasha Luchembe. Brenda Medina. Dutch Merrick.
Here.
Michael Novick.
Present.
John Parker. Steve Pride. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Ron Spriestersbach.
Here.
Lamont Yakey. Are there any members present who I neglected to call?
Almost
14 present, Mr. Chair.
Kim signed it. Kim signed it.
We have a quorum. Let's start.
Oh, it's a quorum.
Yeah, that's a quorum. We're starting. So just to clarify for people, the Delegates Assembly has a different set of officers. I'm the chair of the delegates. Tej Graywall is the vice chair. John Gary continues as the secretary. So we took our roll call. I don't know if we normally do excuse absences, but
no, we can forego that.
You can move to just carry them over for the LSB.
Yeah. Is there any objection to carrying over the two excused absences from the LSB meeting? That's for Ankeny Antrim and Steve Pride. Seeing no objection, we'll consider them excused. We have agenda approval. The agenda was included in the agenda for the LSB. It is a separate business item. Is there any objections to the agenda as printed on the...
It covers two pages, page one, and then on the back, the delegates continues on page two, so be sure to look at both pages.
Yeah, there is public comment during the delegates' process as well before we roll down the bylaws.
Is it my understanding that the question of whether to adopt or not adopt... to adopt or not adopt the bylaws of members is our only piece of business?
Yes.
Yes. Therefore, I have a point of information.
Okay.
Could we find out, in a sense, because we always start 45 minutes late and everything else, where we're at time-wise, if there are folks here who plan on objecting to one or more of them? I mean, for all I know, everybody thinks all these are fine. They may want to comment about them. I'm not trying to rule comment out. I'm not trying to rule anything. I'm just wondering how tight we need to be on time. So either people, I'm just wondering as a point of inquiry whether anybody here objects to any of these proposed amendments.
Mr. President.
Okay, and I don't know if this was your question. Could we do a consent calendar and pull one or two?
Yeah.
Okay, you cannot on the bylaws votes. And you have to take individual votes on each one. And it's a matter of we send the results of this to the Attorney General to amend our bylaws. So you have to establish that you have a majority of the full board. So you need 13 amendment votes on any bylaws amendments to pass. And so you cannot pass the consent calendar, unfortunately.
Yeah, which is not really what I would want to do. But thank you for that. I just wanted to know where we were going to be at timeline.
We have 90 minutes. If we take less, that would be great.
Okay.
So there's a delegates designation presentation. LSB members.
Yeah, minutes approval. You skip C. You skip.
Oh, I'm sorry. Minutes approval. Thank you. There were minutes of July 15th delegates assembly that were circulated by the secretary.
I move their approval.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded, Ms. Barnett.
I guess this is a question.
Use the mic.
I realize the local station board is a subcommittee of the national board,
it has function, it can make motions. Is this thing that we're sitting in, this subset of something, does it have motions and it doesn't have any power with the National Board?
Yes, okay, so I'll repeat the explanation. The Delegates Assembly, when we had what we call the LSD elections, technically those are delegate elections. The listeners and the staff elect delegates. The delegates then constitute themselves as the local station board. However, their position as delegates is higher than our position as the local station board. The local station board is a subcommittee of the national board. The delegates choose members from their own ranks as members of the national board, and therefore is essentially a higher body than the national board or the local station board. So sitting as delegates, we have the power to nominate people and elect people to the national board or remove them from the national board, and we have the power to approve or disapprove or proposed amendments to the bylaws that govern Pacifica. We're meeting here today with that function. There's no other business on that agenda.
But is there any other power given this?
I don't think so. Those are the two powers. Okay. It is electing members of the national board and approving or disapproving of bylaws amendments. As Ms. Brazon said, bylaws that have already been approved by the national board must be approved by a clear majority of at least three of the five local station boards or delegates assemblies. That means we must get 13 affirmative votes for any bylaws to be considered approved, no matter how many people are here. It's not a majority of those present, it's a majority of the actual membership of 24. So that's 13.
One more process question.
Okay.
Lydia stated that we need to send our bylaws to the Attorney General. My understanding is educational and religious organizations don't do that in this state. Has that law changed?
And I meant the Secretary of State, sorry. In order to keep up our status, part of the regulations, the state regulations, is that if you make changes to your bylaws, you have to inform the Secretary of State.
Okay, all right, so I think that is the delegate designation presentation.
The minutes are still on the floor.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
I made a motion.
That's right. I asked if there was any objection, and
I didn't.
The other question. So
thank you.
I'm assuming the minutes are approved without objection.
All right.
So that is the classification rights and duties. We have delegates who represent listeners and delegates who represent staff, those being the two classes of membership in the Pacifica Foundation. And that's how we're seated here today. It's considered the bylaws. So there are six proposed bylaws amendments, and I'll just say what they are before we take any public comment. There's an amendment regarding the change of membership class status, and that regards the idea that someone who is elected as a representative of listener sponsor members of Pacifica might become a staff member, and that's been an issue of some controversy because there's supposed to be a balance between listeners and staff on the delegates assemblies and local station boards and the national board. And so this amendment would change the bylaws to say that if someone who is elected as a listener becomes a staff member, they would lose their seat as a listener delegate at that point because they're no longer a member of the listener membership, and they would be replaced by someone to fill that position, an alternate. Item B is the...
Take
one at a time? Okay. All right, that's fine. So...
I move the approval of that, the amendment you just...
I second.
Second.
Okay, so that's the seconded. Ms. Brazon.
And these aren't motions, by the way.
Because
it's already been approved by the bylaws. I mean, by the PMB. I support the spirit of it. I do not support the amendment itself for this reason: that membership that is defined in the bylaws qualifies volunteers who spend, you know, the 3 hours or who continue in a volunteer status as unpaid staff. And it starts getting very murky. This is not delineated sufficiently, and we wouldn't want to see partisan issues lopping off people from the board once they've been elected by a particular body of listeners. I understand the issues that have come up have been that some people will continue to run for the local station board in order to get a program or that sort of thing. So then their status changes. So are they representing the listeners anymore, or are they representing staff? And so that's what kind of gave birth to this. I think we have to revise other sections of the bylaws, in order to have clarification and in order to really make the change that's intended here. So I will be voting no on this one.
Good point.
Mr. Mayor?
I think Lydia raised a critical point. I was going to support this amendment, frankly, but yep. Now in clear conscience I can't. For example, a person was elected to this board, myself, and then I volunteered at the station for 5 or 10 hours, and then suddenly someone could change my classification or lose my seat on the board. It seems that it needs to go back to committee and get reworded, so I don't support this motion.
Other comments from the board, or any listener comment? Edna Scoffman?
I just want to make a comment that this is ironic, considering Lydia put this motion, this amendment forward.
No. Point of privilege.
Okay.
Yes, okay. No, I did not. It was Adriana Castaneda. I signed on to it because I think bylaws of importance should be discussed. I also voted for it at the PMB level because, quite frankly, I'm hoping that we have another bylaws amendment down the road that allows the LSBs to weigh in first if they choose to, since it takes the majority vote on the PMB and 3 LSBs. But these are issues that the LSBs should be able to discuss and debate. So for that reason, it's just like I sign on to anyone who brings me a listener candidate petition, right? Mm-hmm. Just so that they should have they can be heard, their members, I think. So it's in that same spirit that I signed on to this. But no, I did not. In fact, I advocated against it, and I was ultimately persuaded to at least allow the debate and allow the LSBs to discuss it.
Mr. Reyes.
I've always been one that I believe that these bylaws should have the LSBs weigh in first before they get voted on the PMBs. This is my opinion.
Okay.
We can't call it a question.
Well, we always take listener comment for the agenda. That's what I was asking. Are there any listeners who wish to comment on this proposed bylaws amendment?
If not.
No questions? Okay, I see one. We have one.
I didn't get a chance to read it, but from what the discussion, I'm just questioning, there is the idea of possibly in the future requiring LSB members to do a certain number of hours on the fund drive work. So, yeah, we really do need to have a lot of wording corrected so that there's not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, my question is, how do we proceed to vote?
Yeah, well, there's no further comment, then we'll just take a vote. I guess we can take a show of hands, or do people want a roll call?
No, just show of hands is traditional, unless someone demands a roll call,
all right,
which further stalls the process.
Show of hands, all those in favor of this amendment?
Roll call.
Somebody has. Secretary, please call the roll.
Chuck Anderson.
No.
Rodrigo Argueta.
No.
Douglas Barnett.
As a politician, no.
Fred Blair.
Abstain.
Lydia Brisson.
No.
John Crumshaw. Luis Garcia E. Ivins.
No.
John.
All right, go back. John Crumshaw, we're voting on the first proposed bylaw amendment concerning change of membership class status. We're doing a roll call vote.
Yeah, I vote no.
Thank you. Ariana Gladney.
No.
Tej Graywall.
No.
Kim Kaufman.
Abstain.
Fred Klunder.
No, please.
Jim Lafferty.
No.
Dutch Merrick.
No.
Michael Novick.
So I'm going to move that. I'm going to vote yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Ron Spriestersbach.
No.
Okay. Bear with me, Mike. The yeses are 1, the noes are 13 noes and 2 abstentions.
Yeah, there was 1 yes vote.
1 yes.
Okay.
1-13, 2
abstentions.
1-13.
Yeah, 1 yes, 13 no, 2 abstentions.
1 yes, 13 noes.
Robert's rules are yeses, noes, and abstentions. So
yeah.
It's 1-13, 2, 1.
Yes. Yes, 1 yes, 13 no, 2 abstentions. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, and there's a minimum requirement for all these votes.
13.
You need 13 affirmative votes to pass any.
13 yes votes to any one of them.
So that fails, this board, this delegate assembly. Number 2 is the PNB quorum. The proposed bylaws amendment would say that in the event that a quorum is not achieved in a meeting of the PNB, roll shall be taken to establish quorum or lack thereof, and minutes shall be produced to reflect the roll call vote. Those present may also schedule the next meeting. That's the basic addition to the text.
Okay, so yes, this is one that I did propose. And the bylaws say that we have to follow Robert's rules unless there is a bylaws amendment, unless there is a, you know, unless we as Pacifica make an exceptional provision, and that's what this is, to Robert's rules. Because Robert's rules, if you don't have quorum, the only thing you can do is set the next meeting.
Right.
So, and this cuts both ways. I mean, I know that when we had discussed the lack of quorum before, there were some who had said that my side of the aisle had done the same thing. I'm not questioning that. That may have happened. And if that did happen, this would apply to them as well. It has nothing to do with the factions. It simply means let's have a record. Let's have minutes that we have to call the roll to establish whether there is quorum or not. So if you have to call the roll, then you should have a record in of those that are in attendance and those who are not. I didn't go beyond to say that this counts toward the 3 meeting absence because it doesn't constitute a meeting. Per se. I haven't tackled that. You have to, with the bylaws, anyone who works on bylaws amendments realize that there are 6 moving parts to every one that you pass. So, or don't pass. So this simply says, you don't have a quorum, all these people go out of their way to attend the meeting, you call the roll, you have to see if we have a quorum, so let's have a record of it. And in the minutes would say that, and whatever the next meeting is that is agreed to, which is allowed by Roberts.
Okay, comments on this? Mr. Grunfeld. Yeah,
I think that, a little louder, John.
Hello.
That's okay. This is important, an important procedural issue, which I do not favor because what Roberts indicates, and I researched this extensively when I was chair and in other committees. What the chair is supposed to do is look and see if there's a quorum, do a head count, and determine there is or is not a quorum. If there is not a quorum, there is no meeting. So the taking of the attendance, I feel, is not in keeping with the spirit of Roberts.
Okay, I saw Kaufman, Merrick, Lafferty, and Barnett, and Klunder. So, all right, quite a bit of comment. So let's, Kaufman next.
I agree with John Crumshaw, and it's not in the bylaws, and it's not in Robert's rules, and therefore, there's an effort to make up a special rule that sort of violates and goes against what Robert's rule says. And that's a problem. Mr. Mayor, let me just tell you, Robert's rules is designed for...
You'll have your turn. Mr. Merrick.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
Robert's rules is designed so there's not a tyranny of the majority. It is meant to give a minority in a society a voice and protect their rights. That is why Robert's exists. And I believe that this amendment is purely for the purpose of shaming, publicly shaming people who, for one reason or another, do not show up at a meeting, and I see no other purpose for this amendment.
Okay, thank you. I had Mr. Merrick, Mr. Lafferty, Mr. Barnett, Mr. Reyes, and Mr. Hyman.
Wow, where do I begin? To call this public shaming from someone that has missed so very many meetings is just an offense. This, in our bylaws, there's an attendance, and there's a penalty for not appearing. I mean, within a certain, there's, whether we've imposed that penalty ever or not is moot. But you need to attend meetings to be part of a board. And if there's a meeting where there's consistently 12 people sitting in a room waiting for the 13th person to show up, or has as has happened very often, the 13th person stands in the hallway, reads the room temperature, and runs for the subway to have a meeting with the rest of their peers, absolutely ludicrous, and that doesn't go on the record. Then when those 12 people want, we can't get anything done, and there's no record of their even having been there, and there's no record of a boycott. There's no record of other people having been there. This is basic common sense.
Right.
And to hold Robert's rules up as some sort of infallible Bible is ludicrous. When I was chairing, I read the book Breaking Robert's Rules, and it points out to the majority of instances Robert's rules can be crafted and utilized to overrun a meeting and to prevent things from happening, as we've seen here again and again and again as people pull up the Bible and say, you can't argue with this, Robert's rules. This body is empowered with the ability to create amendments when we find that our rules don't work for us and the current rules do not work for us. So I say absolutely we pass this. Absolutely we create a record of who has stalled these meetings most.
This amendment under consideration right now is from the PNB, which normally meets telephonically, but...
That was one point I was going to make. To the observation of John Crumshaw that Robert's rules anticipate someone looking around the room before they even call that. Meetings that are held on the telephone, that's rather difficult to do. Of course, you can't do it. Secondly, anyone who thinks that Robert's rules was designed in any way to make sure that the powerful didn't rule over the minority really doesn't understand the history of Robert's rules. They are leadership extreme. And most people's organizations worth their salt have given up on Robert's Rules of Order precisely for that reason, because it's just an opportunity for those who want to become embedded in them to stall meetings from actually ever taking place. So all this does, and as far as shaming is concerned, frankly, if you're elected by a body to come to a legislative body and you choose not to show up over and over and over again, I think the electorate should know that and you should be shamed.
Under Reyes,
Yeah, I'll pass. I think it's been said. It's a matter of accountability. Roberts is not doesn't govern, particularly when Roberts doesn't have anything to say about the matter. For those the people here in this room who are not aware of the terrible burden within which this body has had to cope, showing up at a meeting what we need for quorum, missing discoveries that they had convened at a local pizza shop. I mean, this is a fact, and this went on meeting after meeting after meeting. You know, there's a lot of talk about factionalism here. It's a complex issue. There are some shorthands to it, but this is a fact, and this is one of the more disconcerting facts that everyone should be aware of. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I would like to ask if people reserve their comments, anything additional they need to add, because we have a lot of other business
well,
after
this. I think that's a... Sorry, Michael.
Go ahead.
So, having been affected by the minority, and having been in the minority, I think this puts an it nips it right in the bud that, you know, even on the PNB call, Mr. Crump, so you know that there's no room to take a head count. You have to take roll. So, so as far as I'm concerned, you have to take roll here. And I'm sure in this general's rules, there is a point where you have to take roll. And it's really... I would like to know what a good pizza is here. I'm from New York, and I'd like to know what a good pizza is.
Sorry, we have a long stack. I'm very spoken.
I say something because I was addressed. Just very briefly, I was thinking...
He didn't accuse him of anything.
Since I was addressed, I didn't have...
That's not in Robert either. That's the point, personal
meetings. I had in mind personal meetings.
All right, thank you. All right. Mr. Barnett? No, Mr. R.C. Evans.
Major Robert, not General Robert. It's called voting with your feet in Quakerdom. And I've sat in coffee shops in the last 15 years when this board has been in session. I'd be happy to be on the list with the guys who sat in the coffee shop.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Z. Evans.
As long as it's good coffee. I just want to say that I'm in favor of this motion. I call it the Robert's Rules of Disorder. And we do need an accounting of people don't show up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Coffey. You want a second round?
Yeah.
Don't forget the public.
More hands.
I just want to say that no PNB phone call ever gets on the stream until there is a count taken on the call before it gets on the stream. That is how you determine whether there is quorum or not. All of those people are asked if they are in attendance. It's not a roll call. If they don't have a quorum, they don't go on the air unless they just go on the air to make a new meeting. Otherwise, once they get on the air, they have a quorum. I don't know what you people are talking about. And as for Mr. Klunder, he does not speak anything about a fact. He's making all of what he said up.
All right, thank you. Is there any comment from the listeners before we take a vote on this?
I think what everyone thinks of the spirit of Robert's Rules, and I'm not sure that it really has a spirit since it's been carved together over a long time. This is a step forward towards transparency, and you know, you're responsible not only to each other as board members, but responsible to the community, and the community deserves to know who's shown up and not shown up. And if, you know, that may there may be patterns to it, or there may not. People can see that there's no reason not to have this on record.
Thank you.
Yeah, much has been said. I did study the research, the history, the founding of Robert's Rules is by no means an egalitarian and democratic protocol. And I feel that the reason, of course, that we were boycotted for so many months is, of course, having to do with politics. So since Pacifica is always about politics, let's be serious. We have got to include who comes to the meetings and who does not. And if that does not happen, there's no reason for me to be here at all.
Can I have the mic for a second? I'm going to speak.
You've got to move up closer.
I just want to point out, this cuts both ways, because the original boycott was by what now... the majority faction yes. When they were a minority faction. It cut both ways.
Absolutely.
But I think it makes good sense what Gotchin has to say. So, nothing is sacred in Robert's Rules, but I'm not concerned. It's useful or it can be misused. That's true of almost any procedure in any law.
True. Mr. Novick?
Could I call for that?
I surrender the chair for a minute. I'll be recognized. I see this as a proactive measure to try to encourage regular attendance at the PNB meetings and its committees if necessary, and also at the it's been a constant problem at the PNB committees that I'm aware of. People do not show up for the calls, and so I think this is a way to try to encourage people to fulfill their responsibilities. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to ask that we move to a vote on this. Again, this is a PNB. The bylaws amendment would relate to the Pacifica National Board. In the event the quorum is not achieved, roll call should be taken to establish quorum or lack thereof, and minutes should be produced to reflect the roll call vote. Those present may also schedule the next meeting.
Chuck Anderson.
Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Yes.
Douglas Barnett.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
No.
Lydia Brazon.
Yes.
John Crumshaw.
No.
Luis Garcia E. Ivins.
See.
Ariana Gladney.
Yes.
Tej Graywall.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman.
No.
Fred Klunder.
Yes.
Jim Lafferty.
Yes.
Dutch Merrick.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
Aidama. Yes.
Ron Spriestersbach.
Yes.
It passed.
Yeah, that was 13.
I can see that.
Yes.
Yeah. 13 yeses.
Three no's.
And three no's.
Right. Okay, thank you.
So it passes?
Yes, that passes. The next one up is the LSB quorum, which I think is basically the same language applied to the local station board. It says, LSB quorum, in the event quorum is not achieved, roll shall be taken to establish quorum or lack thereof, and then it shall be produced to reflect the roll call vote, the failure to achieve quorum in the next meeting if those present set one. And that's always a possibility of an unquorum meeting. Comments?
A very serious question. When a member of this board consistently calls for a roll call vote for every single motion, thus bleeding the time out of our meetings, and then that same member demands that there be no roll call at the beginning of a meeting when they're personally boycotting, is that a hypocrisy or a deliberate plant or mean-spiritedness? I don't know how to define that.
We are
it's called debate.
That's right.
Not allowed during this comment period.
Mr. Barnett and Mr. Kaufman.
Are you kidding?
Was that your hand up, please?
Of course we can.
Okay.
Everybody.
As I pointed out a month ago, I've been sitting here too long, over there or wherever. I was on this board in a different permutation for 4.5 years. This board has to be, each and every member here has to show a personal liability for that friggin' radio station. I want to see this board start to take personal liability, each and every member here, for what's happening inside that red box. This is a small part of that personal liability. I was sent here by a small body of people to control a very large asset. This is a small part of that.
Okay, thank you, sir. Ms. Kaufman, Ms. Brazon, and Mr. Crumshaw.
I'm not here for right now.
Okay.
Okay, so the motivation is the obvious one, is the same. But I did in the previous debate, I wanted to point out that there are other mechanisms when you have a legitimate reason to be absent, which is the reason, obviously, we don't expect all 24 people to be available and to be able to attend. You have sickness, you have a life, you have work, you have to work overtime. So, but the bylaws permit for that. If you ask for an excused absence. We're addressing the issues when none of that happened is what kind of gave rise to this concern. And when a pattern emerges of if you're against doing whatever was on the agenda, so you boycott it so it doesn't happen, rather than show up to a meeting and fight for what you believe in opposition to something. Those of us that have spent from 2008 through, you know, very recently, this year in opposition when we were only six on the national board or six here, I mean, we still came to those meetings to fight. And to fight in a positive way, that is, for what we believe and why we oppose something. That's what we do. That's what the listeners who vote for you do, because they vote for you for some real reasons that we are calling political, but they are issues that are related to radio, what kind of radio you have, etc. So I'm not minimizing those differences. What I am saying is then if that's why you were elected, then come to a meeting, and if you can't, then you should be okay with this amendment.
Mr. Crumshaw and then Ms. Kaufman, if she wants to come back on.
This proposed bylaws amendment recognizes that the attempt to put this into effect earlier was not actually in keeping with Robert's rules or with our own bylaws. So this specialized amendment, for example, people who speak very eloquently about the importance of being here, stood outside in the parking lot and refused to come in to make quorum, and yet in this forum will indicate that they are very much in favor of it. This is something that is not acceptable because it leads to a kind of division that we don't need. There's a certain procedure that we should follow. We don't make up the rules as we go along. So I would say that I have been at meetings when some of the people who spoke very eloquently about this walked out of a meeting and refused to make quorum. I know as trying to present the GM evaluation, that it was month after month after month in which people were busy and just couldn't make it and had something else to do. So now this is a factional display of improper parliamentary procedure, and I would oppose that. There's no justification for it, and if you look at parliamentary authorities, they say that that's not acceptable.
Ms. Kaufman and Mr. Reyes.
Yes, I distinctly remember the other faction not walking out and from a closed session to evaluate the former GM and prevented that from happening. So the fight for that didn't happen. No, they just walked out and stopped it. And look, if you want to make this amendment, that's fine. I mean, it's just, like I said, just a public shaming excuse, and good luck with that. And all last year, when it wasn't in the bylaws and it wasn't an amendment, and minutes kept being produced, I said, there wasn't a meeting, and y'all insisted, there was a meeting, we have minutes, and we're going to approve them. But now, you see, I was correct, there was no meeting, you were violating Roberts, and so now you have to create a new amendment to support everything you did last year about those meetings for non-quorum, those minutes for non-quorum meetings.
All right, I saw Mr. Agueta's hand up. Mr. Reyes, okay.
So I've been part of the minority again, and I stepped in and I stayed, and I participated in these committees when I was outvoted. I might have been the only one on the committee that had my point of view, and I still attended. And if that happens again, I will attend again, because I believe that the listeners out here have a right to be represented. If they are able and willing to cast a vote for me, whether it's number 1, number 24, number 49, whatever it is, then you know what? I'm gonna give you my word, and I'm gonna show up, and I'm gonna fight
for my views, and hopefully you have my phone number, because you know, on my candidate statement there's a phone number, and you're more than welcome to call me and discuss whatever you want to discuss. Thank you. So stop hiding.
Okay. I have another question.
Public. Yeah, we have to take public comment first.
Well, I would just urge on Mr. Crumshaw and Kim Kaufman to consider the point that, you know, I'm sure they have, you know, truth in their observations about what people have done to in way of obstructive tactics in the past. But this is not, you know, the fact that the people who may have been obstructive if they were in the past are now putting forward an anti-obstruction amendment does not mean that it's a bad thing to have an amendment that prevents this obstructive tactic in the future. I just don't see the logic of that position.
There's no logic to it.
There is no logic to it.
I pass. He said everything I could have said.
All right, thank you. So in that case, we'll go to a vote. Can we take a show of hands? Or?
Yeah.
No. Is that, no. Somebody's demanding a roll.
No one's demanding anything else. Just automatically defaults to show of hands.
Okay. All those in favor?
I'd like a roll.
Call the roll. That's fine.
No vote for the meeting, but yes,
fine.
For the
roll. There was an objection. We're calling the roll. That's fine.
Awesome.
Fair enough.
Will the secretary please call the roll on the LSB quorum amendment?
Chuck Anderson.
Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Yes.
Douglas Barnett.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
No.
Lydia Bresson.
Yes.
John Crumshaw.
No.
Luis Garcia E. Ivins.
I'm going to answer three ways. Tla, C, and yes.
Very good.
But you only get to count one of them.
Douglas, one vote.
Tell me the same thing.
Ariana Gladney.
Yes.
Tej Graywall.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman.
No.
Fred Klunder.
Yes, please.
Jim Lafferty.
Yes.
Dutch Merrick.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
I know.
That was a yes.
Ron Spiestersbach.
Yes.
And that's it, so.
That's the same vote as the last time.
Yeah. How much time is remaining?
Hmm?
How much time is remaining?
For the meeting?
Nope, yeah. That's 70 minutes total, sir.
15 more. We started
at 15. The yeses are 13.
Yes. We're at 40. We've got about 18 minutes left.
How many?
18 minutes left.
Okay.
And the noes are 3, and the abstentions are 0.
Okay, so 13 votes is sufficient majority to pass this. That's also passed. I hate to change the that is the middle of the stream, but we only have 18 minutes remaining, so I'm going to suggest that for the next set of 3 amendments, because that's 3 more we still have to deal with, that we'll take 2 in favor, 2 opposed, if that's the case, if it's necessary.
Have you motivated to start with?
Okay, yeah, the next one is the LSB Town Hall fundraiser. Go ahead.
What this amendment does very simply is it doesn't say that you can't have 2 town halls of substance in the program. It just says that one of them has to be designed in a way to be a fundraiser. And indeed, we've done that in the past for that matter. This would simply make that mandatory in the bylaws that you couldn't have 2 town hall meetings at which neither of them addressed the question of funds. This board, myself included, have bemoaned the financial situation at KBFK Pacifica for as long as I've been on this board. It seems to be that this LSB, which frankly, unlike most governing boards of organizations that I'm on, has no requirement at this point to raise any money, at least would be in favor of an amendment that says that when we hold one of our 2 town hall meetings a year, we do so with the idea that we're going to raise some money at it as well. And so I would urge a yes vote on this side. I just can't imagine why anybody would be opposed to it, but perhaps there are.
Thank you. Just to clarify, the current language says to conduct town hall style meetings at least twice a year.
Yeah.
And the new language would say to conduct town hall meetings at least once a year, and then to add
a fund
to organize at least one LSB fundraiser.
And I was simply making the point that fundraiser can have substance to it and be what we think of as a town hall meeting.
Point of the question, is that an additional meeting?
No.
It changes the language from at least twice to at least once, and then adds a different meeting, in a sense, the fundraising event. Okay, so my proposal, my ruling as the chair, so we're going to take one in favor, one opposed, one in favor, one opposed, and then close discussion at that point. So are you going to speak in favor? In favor? Okay.
Well, next should be opposed.
He motivated it, so...
I motivated it, so I would say that's the next person who speaks should have something opposed. Opposed to it.
Okay, there may be no opposition.
Well, all right. You can
all right, go ahead.
Chair, I just
go ahead.
Was fair.
He's fine.
I just thought it was fair.
Whoa,
it's all right. Please.
I just wanted to say that I was at... I think the Church of Pasadena All Saints, and there was a fundraiser, and I think we collected something like $1,300.
Uh-huh.
Chris Hedges was the speaker.
Yeah.
And I helped. Jennifer Kaiser was on board at that time, Alan Minsky and I, and John Wanger, and we made sure we counted it, and it was $1,300. So if the event is properly planned in a good forum, if it's advertised, it's something that we could do. And the only hesitation I have here is that it's reduced from from 2 to 1. I think it would be good to have 2. I know, but I mean, I would just think that it would be better to keep the same number and just add the fundraising.
Opposed? Unless we have someone else.
Yeah.
Is anyone opposed?
Yeah. Oh, it looks like Ms. Kaufman's.
While I think this is a noble idea, I have yet to see this board be able to provide any sort of financial accountability for any of the activities that they conduct or participate in. We've had an outreach committee for 6 years, never seen minutes or all of their events. Solicit contributions, never seen one accounting for them.
That's not true.
There's a cash management policy that was came from the finance committee that was approved by the LSB that has never been put into effect. We get no reports of any of these events, any of the monies. There's no accounting for merchandise or anything. So until management and this LSB can show proper accounting for these events, I can't support it.
Okay, we already had 2 in favor.
And
one opposed. Is there another opposed?
No, that's against.
Yes. She was against. She's always against.
Yes, we had 2 in favor and 1 opposed. Is there another opposed?
Who was in favor?
Opposed.
Well, Mr. Lafferty motivated.
I was
one
in favor. John was... I don't know how he's going to vote, but he spoke mm-hmm. He's in favor, so that's 2. You spoke against. That's, so if there's one more negative...
Doug, somebody will let him speak.
Yeah, right.
I see a real case of mission drift here. There's a lot of dead people on the surface of this planet from mission drift. The town hall is in the bylaws in order to give our listeners a chance to yell at management, programmers, and just get it off their chest. I don't think that what we've described as town halls in this immediate past have ever been that. So I don't want to see our town halls turn into festivals to make money. It needs to be a place where our listeners have a chance to talk to the people that govern that big red box.
Point of information.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
Do you think it's reasonable to take another 1 pro and 1 con because of the nature and the importance of this vote?
Well,
it's a time issue.
We have 18 minutes for 3 more amendments, so I'm going to say that.
There's 10 minutes left.
So,
run.
We've taken 2 in favor and 2 opposed. I'm going to ask for public comment. I'm going to ask for public comment.
We have 90 minutes, not 60.
We had 70 remaining.
Okay.
Wait, what? 70 on there?
We started at 244.
You go ahead.
Right. We got 20 minutes.
So we have it.
All right. That's still enough. We have two more amendments after this. Public comment, then we'll see. I'll get this to somebody.
I'm not opposed to this at the moment, but I don't like it at all. Namely, we should say at least 2 a year town halls is pretty minimal, and most importantly, there hasn't been any follow-up to these past town halls. I've taken part in practically all of them, and just to have a case to vent as we do here, and there's hardly any recognition taken of constructive comments or questions, is exercising futility. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't have more. So I think you're mixing up two different things here. And I agree with Doug completely on this. Namely, it's good, this board should do a more on fundraising, but it shouldn't be confused with the town hall. Not that you can't raise funds, not that you can't spend at a fundraising, but these are two separate things. And so I say I'm not opposed to this, but I think it's not well crafted, it's not a good idea.
Well, I am in full compliance with or I agree with the description that Doug has just rendered, because knowing very well also being chair of the CAB, it's forms, more and more forms that we need for the listeners. Even calling in programs have been taken off the air. The listeners have no way of communicating, connecting with one another, and connecting with management. The town halls are expressly, always have been, to open up the space for their non-commercial radio, community radio, for them to come in, listen, and talk, and exchange, whether they want to argue, whether they want to give good kudos, suggestions, is that form. If we were talking about not tapping into that resource, that area of the town hall, but if we're going to be taking that away and we're just concentrating on the money making machine, then we have an issue here. Otherwise I would support it. I fully would support it, but you gotta look at those two things. They have to be better defined.
Okay, thank you.
We're done with them. Two.
All right.
We're done. Okay.
All right, so just to clarify again one more time, here's what it says in the current bylaws. In the current bylaws, it says, item H, these are powers and duties of the LSB, to conduct town hall-style meetings at least twice a year, devoted to hearing listeners' views, needs, and concerns, and letter I, to assist in station fundraising activities. The amendment would be H, to conduct town hall-style meetings at least once a year, devoted to hearing listener views, needs, and concerns, and I would become to assist in station fundraising activities and to organize at least one LSB fundraising event per year. So
then taking one.
It doesn't say you can't have more. At least
it says at least one.
Read the language.
Okay. Everybody clear on the language? And we're going to go to a vote. Yes?
No.
Is the language that there's going to be at least two, and one of those has to be for fundraising? Or
I'll repeat it one more time. There are two separate items in the powers and duties of the LSB. One is to conduct town hall style meetings at least twice a year. This is currently devoted to hearing listeners' views, needs, and concerns. And another is to assist in station fundraising activities. The amendment would change the first one to say at least once a year, and would add to the second one, and to organize at least one LSB fundraising event per year.
So it would replace the second.
It's still a total of two.
Minimum.
One designated town hall. The second one is a fundraiser.
Minimum. But the second one
minimum.
All about.
But we're not limited.
The third point.
No, both,
right.
Both of them say it.
At least, is all it says. Jesus.
Okay, so we're going to a vote. I'm just going to say roll call and go ahead and call the roll.
Calling into that.
Call the roll.
Chuck Anderson.
Yes.
You have to demand a roll call every time.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Buzz.
Douglas Barnett.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
Abstain.
Lydia Persson.
Yes.
John Crumshaw.
Yes.
Luis Garcia E. Ivins.
Because Nahuatl is our original language, I'm going to answer that with a tla.
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
Yeah. Ariana Gladney.
Yes.
Tej Graywall.
Pass.
Kim Kaufman.
Abstain.
Fred Klunder.
Yeah, vote.
Tim Lafferty.
Yes.
Dutch Merrick.
Da.
Okay.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
We need Mandarin.
No. Yes.
That's a no.
It's Democratic.
Ron Spiestersbach.
Abstain.
Let's go back to the passes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Argueta, you passed. How do you vote?
Abstain.
And Ms. Graywall, you passed?
Abstain.
It does not pass.
The yeses are 10. And the noes are 1, and the abstentions are 5.
Okay, the amendment fails. It has a majority, but we need 13.
Yeah,
thank you. Next item is term limits. Yes.
Just a point of order. One of the things I remember from the Roberts Rules book, Breaking Roberts Rules, is that very often one of the methods of ticking away all the time and eating up the meeting is people deliberately calling for a roll call vote with no genuine reason to do so. So I would suggest that we not become trained dolphins right. Automatically call for a roll call vote.
All right, thank you.
I agree with that.
Train Muppets.
What's wrong with Muppets? Okay, the next amendment, as I understand it, basically prevents people from kind of using a loophole in the term limits to leave the location board very briefly and then come back immediately thereafter to extend beyond their normal 6-year limit. And I'm trying to see where the language is crossed out or changed. The version that's printed doesn't have either the cross out or the changes. So, but essentially, what it says is that
it's crossed out.
If someone's on the board, dropped off the board, like for the last month, and then tries to get reelected immediately thereafter, and say, "Well, I had a break in service, and therefore I can get another term and extend beyond 6 years," that would be disallowed by this amendment. Anybody want to comment on it or motivate it further? Any comment from the public? Any objections moving to a vote? All in favor, raise your hand.
Lawrence?
Get a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All opposed? Abstentions?
So is 14-02?
Yeah. Okay, last one is...
You need to announce the...
Yes, I can announce that amendment was adopted at least by this station. And if two of the stations adopted will become part of the bylaws. The last one is regular meetings by phone. Do you want to motivate that?
Yes, okay. As I said, whenever you make a bylaws amendment and you have to fix several others. And so when we
passed, when the national board and the three LSBs passed the amendment a few months ago in the first cycle of amendment approval, to have the wording before was that all of the PMB meetings that were regular meetings had to be held in person. And as I said, in 2010, that cost us $110,000. For all intents and purposes, most of our phone meetings, with rare exception, are regular meetings. We have an agenda, we notice them, we have committee reports. That really does not fit the definition of special meetings. And so now that we've done away with the contradictory language of the in-person meetings, then we have to fix this, because ever since I've been on the PMB, we have really violated the bylaws, or at least not kept to it strictly. So this simply says we can have regular meetings with regular agendas without going through the torturous aspect of it and having to call them special meetings and then pretend that we are really having a special meeting for one particular issue. We do, for example, if you have a special meeting for the bylaws, that constitutes a special meeting. But everything else, it's not. It's a regular a meeting agenda. So let's just do something. The more we can comply with the bylaws, the better. I advocate that we vote yes on this.
Anyone against?
Yeah. Any opposition?
Call for the vote.
All right.
Public?
Sorry? No public. Public comment? Any public comment? This basically follows up
I
see that.
Sure.
Last year we changed the requirement to have multiple in-person meetings to at least one. And so that's what necessitated this. Go ahead, Israel.
So far, so good, I suppose. But I just want to make the comment, which is not a novel one that I've gone over before, that unlike the regular meeting in person, there's no chance for any kind of listener, public member input. Now, recognizing that with length of meetings, I understand that. Nevertheless, I want to raise that issue again to consider not to vote against this, but to consider the nature of these meetings and the role of the public in meetings. So I'm not opposing this. I'm just bringing that issue up, which I think is pertinent and relevant, even though difficult and complicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a clarification. I saw a hand from the board.
So there are open meeting requirements by CPB, and they are geared toward in-person meetings. Right. So for Pacifica to comply, and in our conversations with CPB, right at the outset of these bylaws and before that, is that Pacifica is allowed to have these telephone meetings outside of the in-person view of its listeners, only because it also advertises its address, which is pmb@pacifica.org. So number one, there were two things that we did. One is to stream the meetings live, so all of the listeners can listen to the meetings. They can also email us while we are on the call, which, by the way, happens. At least I get emails and texts, those who know my cell number as well, but to PMB at Pacifica, we get a lot of listener input. So that is how we were able to comply for the purposes of CPB, given the fact that we're in five signal areas. We cannot, under any circumstance, certainly in recent years, unfortunately, I mean, I prefer the in-person meetings too, but we can't afford them. And, you know, that's what we have to do to conduct the business of the foundation. And so this is just so that we comply with what we've already been, what our practice has been. Thank you.
Mr. Grumshaw?
The microphone for John?
Yeah, he's.
I would just say, having participated in a number of PNB meetings, there seems to be no order. I'm not sure whether it's possible to establish an order, but there seems to be a telephone system that could be used where the person chairing could exercise a little bit more control over the meeting so that things could proceed in a reasonable manner. We have people, for example, who will be on the meeting listening for three quarters of it and then announce their presence. People who will interrupt somebody else and not allow a motion to be made. And there should be some mechanism established. It's not satisfactory to meet over the telephone, because there's something very important about seeing people and meeting with them in person. But given that this is what has been approved, we need to establish some kind of more reasonable method for making sure things move forward. And
good point.
I hope that that will be added to the consideration.
Thank good point. Mr. Nova?
Go ahead. Oh. Go ahead.
I will vote yes on this on a condition that we strive to put those emails and texts on our website in real time during the meeting. So much of my email is simply never seen by some of my family members because Comcast edits what I say to my family. I've proven it over years.
I pass the chair so I can speak. One is to say that I serve on a couple of different PNB committees, and I just to testify that I have received emails during the meeting from people listening on the stream
sure.
who want to communicate with me. But I agree with the other comments that were made. I think that there should be some way of making those public. I will also concur with Mr. Crumshaw on the question of the phone system. I've recommended several times that the PNB adopt the system that's used by the Occupy movement,
yep.
which allows the chair to call on people before they speak and allows people to make comments by pushing buttons on the phone to indicate their support or the desire to be on the stack.
That's right.
And I would recommend that highly over the system that we use now called Loop Up, which is very, very hard, and there are several meetings that have degenerated because of incivility or hostility or people not wanting to listen to the chair.
Okay. Are we ready to vote?
All right, so we're going to a vote on this one. All those in favor, indicate by raising your hand.
14.
What's again? Come back in. I'm sorry.
Yes, he just raised his hand.
Yeah. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
15.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's 14.
14. Opposed? Abstentions? One and one not present.
Oh, there was a no?
There was one not present.
No.
Okay, but I don't record not present. I just record the total.
Okay, 14
one
yes.
Wait, it was 14?
14 yes, one abstention.
14-01. Okay.
Yeah. And that's it, right? I'm going to give the chair back to the chair. Right. Thank you.
All business concerns. Yeah. But don't go anywhere. There's lots of fun yet to be had.
Hold on to your hats, folks.